Yeah, we are back and live, and tonight we're talking with Teresa and Scott. And Teresa is originally from Paranormal Truth Seekers, and Scott is from Ghostly Gateway Paranormal Investigations. And they got themselves together because they knew each other from the past, from what Teresa said, and they started Paranormal Gateway Paratalk. So how are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
How are you guys?
I'm doing pretty good. So for the viewers that probably don't or haven't known about you or don't know about you and haven't checked out your pages or anything, the first question out of the box will be, what got you started and interested in the paranormal? And ladies first.
Okay. My journey in this actually started at a very young age. I started experiencing paranormal things that I didn't realize were paranormal things at the time. To the best of my knowledge, I can remember it starting when I was about 6 or 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And from there, it just, well, here we are today. it was all because of experiences that started at my parents' house that really got me curious and intrigued. And I wanted to know more, and I wanted to understand what was happening and what I was experiencing.
Okay, that's cool. And Scott, how about you?
Well, for me, it's totally different. I never had any experiences, but when I was growing up, I did a lot of research in paranormal. And I got to the point in my life that I thought I'd be comfortable enough to start up, because I had a family and everything, make sure that they're okay with them. I tried to get hold of a group, and I found one. And ever since the first investigation I had with them, it was at a church, and I got one of the best MVPs I ever got. And after that, I mean, I was with that group, and went to another group, and that's where I'm at now, so...
Okay, cool. So have you two been on investigations together then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Scott was teamed up with two of the guys that are on Normal Truth Seekers, but still investigate with Scott and like his team. So they kind of went their different ways, did different things because Scott had moved out to Ohio. So one of those guys found my team and was interested in joining my team. So Bill Hyland, he came on board on my team. And then Don Rehm came on board on my team. And Scott and I had already known each other by this point in time with me moving out to Indiana, because I'm originally from Pennsylvania, so is Scott. Okay. And it's not long after, a few months maybe, Scott, after I moved out here, it was like, hey, we're so close to each other. Like, it's time to tag team and get some stuff done, man.
Yeah.
So here we
are.
Gosh,
she's doing me. She's actually the right side of Indiana, and she's like 1 hour away from me, hour and a half. So we get there and do stuff together. Like we did a fire museum last year in Mansfield, that's Ohio. So that was our first investigation alone out here.
Yeah.
Cool. So what kind of places do you guys go to? Is there anything that all of us has heard of, or anything new that we haven't heard of?
No, I don't think so. Not really, Scott, huh? Like we enjoy exploring, some of the, it's a good combination of everything. We do residential investigations. We do cemeteries. We do the abandoned like asylums and businesses, and it's really a little bit of everything. We're not very biased, We a little bit of everything.
Okay. So what's your favorite places to investigate?
Well, my favorite so far. I think Haldeman was the best one for me. because I got a direct answer to, I was doing an EP session, and it's supposed to be a little girl named Hannah. And T, this is the first time I met T. The first investigation I met T was a Haunted Mansion in, I was in, what was that? In
like Pennsylvania. Like County. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was setting up my equipment. We have a habit, first thing we do, when we get into a place, when we set anything up, we put our recorders on our hats. And we set recorders. So, as I set stuff up, I did a EVP on myself, and I think the boy was named Jacob and Hannah. And yeah. So I asked, is Jacob here, or is yeah. Hannah here too? And I heard, mm-hmm. I'm like, and she came upstairs at that time. I'm telling her, I think I heard that. And we play it back, we hear her say, mm-hmm. So that is probably one of my fear investigations. She actually heard it, her say that.
Right. You heard it. So. You heard it instead of hearing it on the tape, then.
Yeah.
And then I heard my tape too. So.
Yeah. Okay. And Teresa.
I think for me personally, my favorite places to go to are those that have a lot of a good bit of history to them. I'm really intrigued with historical places. I think my second on the list is cemeteries. I really do enjoy going to cemeteries, especially the real old kind of creepy ones. Like that's right on yeah. up my lane. I like the creepy thing. As far as locations that we've been to so far, I personally think so far my all-time favorite location has been the Hinsdale House. And it's pretty cool because the first time...
Bump it in.
I'm gonna sneer it in. But see, he talks a whole lot of smack here right now. But we are actually getting ready to go back to the Hinsdale House. I mean, it will be Scott's first time and Bill's yeah. first time and Don's first time. So yeah, I've kind of got the one up on them. I do.
Yeah.
Hopefully she'll get to show them around.
Yeah. That place was definitely one of my favorite locations by far so far, and I can't wait to take my guys back, and I can't wait to go back.
Cool. So yeah,
that's
I'm sorry, what was that, Scott?
That's next month.
That is next month.
Investigation yep. there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Trip so to your... what's some of the most intriguing like eat EVPs you ever got?
We've got some very vulgar ones.
We get a lot of words. Oh, a lot of them. Yeah, a lot.
Now you don't expect the spirits to behave themselves, do you?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
it makes it for a much more interesting investigation when they're actually on their, you know, work behavior. it kind of keeps you on your toes. It's interesting. For me, personally, some of the best is when you get a direct response.
Yeah.
And we've got several times.
Yeah. Last investigation I was in Pennsylvania was Selma mentioned. Mm-hmm. And we got a growl that we picked up. Me and Bill were talking about fixing my computers, make a lot of noise. And then we picked up a growl. And you can hear it. We can hear it. When we play it back, we heard it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool because I've never heard a crawl there before.
That was weird.
So have you ever really got some weird stuff in the cemeteries when you go?
I think the oddest thing I got as far as an EVP in a cemetery was it almost sounded like a busy city in a cemetery. Like, there was just so much emotion and noise, and it was just, it was a lot going on in this maybe 2 minute long EVP. I mean, and it was just solid for the whole like 2 minutes. Wow. It was just, for me, it was odd. It was out of place because we're in the middle of absolute nowhere, way back in the woods, and we get this EVP that sounds like this hustling, busy city. It was weird.
That's kind of interesting.
Basically, like she said, same thing to me. You get some murmurs. You can hear it talking, but you can't make it out. Mm-hmm. That's kind of really pissed off because you're trying to get something out and you can't do it. But we have to go over there anyway. We got to get to one.
It sounds like Scott's got some internet bubbles happening.
Yeah, you keep freezing on us, Scott. Damn it, man.
I got bubbles?
Yeah, that's how we kind of say it whenever you get those weird jaunts and freezes.
It's just part of working at computers for so long.
Yeah.
It's so much for them all thinking technology is so smart. It's so smart. It's amazing.
Yeah, unfortunately, technology is a little too smart sometimes.
Yeah.
So when you guys go out and do your investigations, what kind of equipment do you use?
Well, I think our two top favorite pieces of equipment, devices that we take along with us are, of course, ourselves. A lot of people do not look at themselves at being an instrument, and I think you really do need to, because of your senses.
I got to tell you, Teresa, you're the first one out of everybody we have actually.
No, they're not.
Oh, she's not?
No, they're not.
Okay, then she's the first one out of everybody that I remember saying that you consider yourself a piece of equipment.
You got old, you know, so your memory is bad.
Yep, I got that old man memory.
It is a rare thing for that.
It is for people to actually come forward and say that.
But there's only like out of all the guests we had, maybe two others have said that.
Oh wow!
Teresa is our baby.
My most important piece of equipment is myself.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, No. I will take that back. It was Dr. Christy Sumner that said that.
You think it was? I don't
remember. I think it was her that said that.
I know there was more. Jeez. I don't know who.
No, I do believe it was her that said that.
It makes sense. You know?
Well, yeah.
You got to have sense for the one that said it.
All right, Joe, you're cutting in and out too, buddy.
Can you explain it? Can you not explain it? You know, you gotta use your mind a lot when you're out there, you know.
Right.
Plus then you use your senses as well.
Absolutely. And you have to learn how to control your mind and your senses when you're in an environment like that, because what I like to tell people is your mind is your deadliest weapon. It can let you run away with things. It can put you in a state of panic if you let yourself get carried away with things. But if you are able to keep yourself grounded and you use yourself as the key pinpoint tool in your investigation, it kind of helps with the rest of the investigation. You know, if you can control your own being and the elements that's going on around you, well, then you can actually be able to maybe get more communication. Or instead of, and I know Scott and I have talked about this so many times, because it's one of those things where it's like, as soon as like you're told off, like in an EVP or you get touched or, you know, someone sees a shadow, it's like, demon kind of like thing. It's like, no, calm down, Sally. Mm-hmm. Like yes, there's negative entities out there. We truly believe that, but we're not so quick to jump this oh, this is something demonic kind of thing all the time, you know?
Right.
So if something happens that kind of throws you off guard, if you can control your own mind and your body, well, then it kind of opens up the gateway for more interaction to happen and for you to kind of shut out what may be negative and let more of the positive in to be able to communicate with you. So it's, I mean, first and foremost, I think it's yourself. And then, you know, Scott will second me on this. It's, you got to have a recorder. You have to have an audio recorder. And that is, I think, it's the second most important piece of equipment, device that you can have with you on an investigation.
Yeah.
And then we have
I say that clear mind when, because every investigation you go to, whether you go to two or three times, it could be different.
Yeah.
So you got to treat each time as your first time on there. That's the way I feel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we've got the video recorders, and, you know, we've got the EMS detectors, and we have pretty much everything that almost every other typical investigation team has. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of when we get them out, when we use them, if we think we're even going to need them, or if we think it's going to come in handy for the precise location that we are in. Like, of course, if we are in the middle of nowhere, you know, we're going to want to have, or at least one of us is going to want to have an EMS detector. Because if we're in the middle of nowhere and we're getting hit on this thing, well, that's kind of telling you something, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But in a house where there's already so much going on in that home that could be drawing in and giving you hints on an EMS detector, well, it just, it's kind of, I wouldn't say a useless device, but it doesn't, there's other things that you could use that make more sense.
Right.
You know?
Well, also with the EMS detectors.
Depends on how long.
Oh, go ahead, Scott. I'll let you.
It all depends. Like, investigations we do, some places they allow us 4 hours investigating and taking time to set up because they need investigation time. So that's what we do choose different equipment.
Okay. But sometimes doing a quick sweep with an EMF meter too can help you out, especially on those home investigations. Because the electromagnetic field that is produced by the wiring or the fuse boxes, if it's an old house, or breaker boxes or whatever, those, depending on the amount that's coming off those can actually affect people that are in the home as well.
We dealt with that a few years back. My team did a residential case where. Mm-hmm. The claims were just, I mean, off the wall. I mean, off the chart, like claims, you know? And you never want to look at somebody and be like, oh, come on. Like, not all this will be happening. You do your best to respect a person in that kind of situation because they are allowing you to come into their home and investigate their home and hear their claims. And, I mean, this person was, she was extremely worried about what was going on. Well, because we always go in, we do a sweep baseline reading of the home in each room. We ended up finding out that downstairs in her basement, I mean, that sucker just lit up like a Christmas tree. There were so many fires because of it being like an old home. Home that was built in, I think it was built in the 40s, late 40s, I believe it was. So, I mean, girlfriend had exposed wires everywhere where an inspector came into that home, they would have been like, oh, this is a no-no. Like, so, you know, we made some recommendations to her and was like, look, why don't you get this taken care of? And, you know, wait like a month, see how you feel, see if things change. And, you know, it was amazing because lo and behold, you know, we did do a full investigation. We did get some pretty intriguing, you know, EVPs, but that was it, you know, just all EVPs. And she got all of the electrical work fixed and everything, got a breaker box fixed. It was throwing out too much than what the breaker box was actually like set for or recommended for. I'm not sure how that stuff works. Okay, I'm not electrical.
No, yeah, the breaker box was rated for a certain wattage or voltage.
Yeah,
it was overworked.
No way.
That kind of sounds like the breaker box we have at work because you plug our pallet jack in, and it'll snap the breaker.
Yeah.
My house here.
Yeah, it's like your house.
Oh, yeah.
Some people.
Oh, I was thinking of you guys talk about the math problems and some of the ghost shows.
Yeah.
They walk around, they have the EMF detector on top of their phone.
Yeah.
And they're picking stuff up. When they're kids, you got a phone. You
can't have electronics in one hand and the EMF meter in another. You're going to wind up getting some bleed off.
That kills me.
I know Joe is trying to say something. I didn't hear you, Joe.
I was just going to say something like, you know, those old buildings like that, that's like one of the last things people think of sometimes when they're remodeling is redoing the wiring. And with all that, you know, over years, that plastic coating on wiring is going to erode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things is it needs to be grounded properly. If it's not grounded properly, it throws all kinds of EMF.
Well, they've been proven.
New wires are wires that are wrapped in cotton and then put in.
Electromagnetic fields.
Yeah.
You know, can upset your body, your, what do they call that?
It can cause hallucinations.
That too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Scott, I did hear what you said there, even though you got that internet bubble going. But no, yeah, the older wiring they used to wrap some of it in treated cotton.
Cotton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what fires.
Yeah. Yeah. Cotton was treated with a chemical.
But that erodes over.
Yeah, I know. And also if you look at some of the wiring
I helped my grandma out of the house. Got that.
But if you look at some of the wiring from the older days, some of it's not copper, it's aluminum.
Yeah,
if it gets exposed, it will deteriorate very rapidly once it's exposed.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen that before in old houses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I've experienced it. I had a
20 years ago. We 20 years ago, my dad redo his house, and we had to rip out the walls, and it was old horsehair plaster. Did you hear that?
Horsehair?
They had those wires in there.
Horsehair?
Wow. Horsehair plaster. Yep, they used horsehair.
Yeah, I used to have a double-wide mobile home, one of those trailers that when I lived in California, and I experienced that aluminum wiring firsthand. I actually had to have it all replaced up to the house because it was aluminum wire in a sheath, and the sheath got a little nick in it, and that's all it took, and it just deteriorated everything. And it was grounding out. What's that?
I said, I think we're showing our age.
Showing your age? Yeah, possibly. Joe's older than me.
No,
we have a habit of doing that.
I'll be 53 this year.
So am I. October of this year, I'll be 53.
No, you're not. I'll guess for me.
Like 60.
Scott, I got my birthday coming up in 5 days, so we got something for my birthday.
Well, yeah, you're third son.
What? Oh, tenth?
What?
Yeah, hers is 4 days before yours, Joe.
Yeah, mine's on the.
Oh, nice! Another Pisces.
that's all right. Are you sure you're Pisces? Because I heard that they're changing the zodiac.
They have, okay, now hold on.
What?
They have supposedly changed the zodiac now, like what, 3 times or something like that? Like, I'm sticking with the original, and that's that. That's what I say.
I had to throw that out there when you
I'm
said
I'm
that.
About to, but that's what I say. I'm
I had to throw that out there. I know, isn't that ridiculous that they're
it is. Yeah. No, I'm sticking with what they said how many years ago, and that's just that. I'm not changing. I mean, I think the cutoff for Pisces is what, the 20th, Joe? Do you know anything? I think it's like the 20th.
Yeah.
So I mean, we've got some cushion. You know, we've got some leeway there. But I know, it's crazy how they can just up and change something like that.
People have too much freaking time over their hands.
They definitely did last year because of this damn COVID and all the lockdown that happened. People had way too much time on their hands.
They had nothing but time. They're like, well, let's make some more stuff up. Why not?
Except for me, I was considered an essential worker and I had to work the entire damn time.
My wife does too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know a lot of people that had to, too.
Adams on the Adams family.
Oh, Joe. Ned, I'm not worried about it. I'll get him later.
That's the joy of good friendship, you know?
Well, yeah, you can always poke fun at each other.
Exactly.
We do. We do. Every investigation.
Right?
Have you ever gone out hunting cryptids?
We do have a lot of fun on investigations.
I have. I mean, I don't know. It's not. Have you? Yeah, I mean.
What?
I have years ago actually going on like an investigation for like any kind of. Cryptid. You know, like your
like
cryptid,
Bigfoot.
You know, your Bigfoot,
or the Wolfman, or Dogman of Michigan, or the Mothman. You got the Dogman of Michigan. You got Bigfoot. Bigfoot's been seen all over the United States, upper Canada, and all that.
Many different states have
all New Jersey states. Devil,
local ones.
Yeah, Jersey Devil.
Really known in Ohio right now. Like Ohio and Pennsylvania are two of the bigger locations right now for a good old Sasquatch.
Yep.
You need to go out in your backyard and start hunting for Sasquatch. Come on, stop.
Keep looking out.
We've got a place here in Wisconsin called the Kettle Moraine Forest that runs pretty much the length of the state. And it's actually where I live at in here in Wisconsin. I'm pretty close to where they've been seeing the Bigfoot over there.
Hot spots have been in the last couple of years. There's been a lot of activity right around that area. He's pretty close.
I'm
going to
go squashing.
Well, you can go with Mark and Joe, okay?
Yeah, actually, I want to go out to Kettle Moraine and take a look at some of that out there because it's been pretty intriguing, some of the reports coming out of there.
I think it's extremely intriguing. Bigfoot is definitely one of those things where, and you know, you hear the horror stories about, you know, and it's not even so much things that have happened to people when they've experienced a Bigfoot. It's just, it's how they feel. It's the extreme sense of fear that they feel when they see one of these things. And I'm sitting over here in my corner like, oh, bring it on. Like, I want to go see Bigfoot. Like, I want to see Bigfoot, you know? But I think for me personally, it's one of those things, especially with Bigfoot, is, I mean, come on. I was born in the 80s, and for as long as I can remember, we talked about Bigfoot. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see one of these things. I want to see one.
Okay.
Oh, should watch this man, our man.
Do you really?
Say it should have watched the $6 million man. He was on there.
All right, Scott. Now you're definitely showing our age. You know, Teresa here, she actually just kind of aged herself by giving us a hint on her birth year.
I'm the baby.
Yes, you are.
I'm the baby.
So,
I'm probably 13 years older than she is.
So I'm noticing
you already gave your age away earlier. Never mind.
I am noticing the Scott's background here. You got UFO up there. You got a ghost up there. You do have Bigfoot. He's giving you a thumbs up. You got Nessie underneath, and then the alien over here. So does that mean you guys also talk about UFOs?
We do.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Do you got any stories of UFOs?
For me personally, the only story that I really have in which I experienced something that to this day I still do not know what the heck we saw. So I was actually on a vacation with my brothers, their significant others at a time, some mutual friends. And three of us had decided to walk down to, we say, the Assateague Island. So you stay right there on the beach. You know, you camp right there on the beach. And I don't know, it was probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I mean, it was just this very, it was like a light show happening in the sky. It wasn't one set, you know. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, we saw these white lights in the sky. Like, no, we were seeing green. We were seeing purple. We were seeing red. Like, and the way that they were moving so sporadic and so fast. And so, like, there's nothing that, and we're all just kind of standing there, like, looking at what we're seeing and then looking over at each other like, are you seeing this too? Like, I didn't drink that much, did I? Like, y'all seeing this too, right? So the craziest part about this was we definitely were not the only ones to see this, because the following day, now we were still supposed to be staying for, I think, like 3 more days. But my little nephew, who is only but a few months old, it was very, very hot, unfortunately, very hot. And he was just a little guy, I mean, but a few months old. And right. It was starting to take a toll on the little guy. We were like, okay, it's time to pack up and go home for the sake of him. And on our way home, on the one stretch that it will take you from Maryland to Pennsylvania, there was just news van after news van after news truck after news. So a lot of other people had seen this. And we ended up stopping at a gas station, and there were two news, vans that were there. So one of the guys that I was with, they had just asked, like, hey, like, what the heck is going on? Like, what are you guys here for? And that's when we found out that it was confirmed to us that, yeah, they were all there because of what we saw and how many other people saw in the sky that night. It was just one of the most awesome things I have ever seen. I will say that. Definitely one of the most awesome things I have ever got to experience. But it is still one of those things for me that, because it's still such a mystery as to what it was, it's like, it's still always on the front line of my mind of, man, I really want to know. Like, I want to know indefinitely what that was. Like, I want to know. So for me, that was my personal crazy experience I've had. Scott, you've had something there too, haven't you?
Just with we didn't see it at the time. I guess Bill won't mind me saying about this.
Yeah.
2014, when I was with my old group in Pennsylvania, it was me, Bill, and Don, and we went to Centralia for a day, and we went to all the cemeteries and stuff. And we got home, he was going through his pictures he took, and he got a picture that looks like a UFO in the sky off in the distance. If you check our last show, I think we had with them, he has a picture. So,
but it wasn't our last show. I think it was the one before, because our last show, we talked about some of the different locations, haunted locations.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Come on,
one of the last show was, yeah.
Yeah, it was a very recent show, though. Leave it to the woman to keep your ass straight.
No, yeah, you always keep my ass straight.
As somebody has to.
Yeah, because the reason I ask, I mean, I see it on your background there, but the reason I ask is because Joe and I also, we cover everything. We'll cover everything from spirit hauntings, cryptids. What's that, Joe?
We just start thinking about that first.
Speak up, son. I can't hear you.
I really start thinking about it. I'm sorry.
No, not you.
I think last 2 years when we really start thinking up. Oh.
I said serial killers.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, we did it. We actually did a show.
Some, not the ones that are dangerous, but, you know.
We did a show with a guy that my niece, who's friends with in California, got us in contact with, and he was a very big fan of Charles Manson. He actually visited Charles Manson while Manson was in York prison.
About 30 times.
About 30 something times. And he got to know Manson well enough that basically they became friends.
Wow.
Yeah. And we did an entire show interviewing him, and he talked a lot about Manson. So, if you're interested in stuff like that, you can find it on our YouTube channel, because it is up on our YouTube channel.
Let's say we like conspiracy theory.
His name is William Harder.
The one biggest conspiracy theory that got the biggest hit. Is Elvis still alive?
Supposedly.
Yeah, we did two shows on that too.
Got a lot of attention when we talked about it.
That's like Tupac, y'all. Supposedly Tupac is still alive too. He's down in the Bahamas. Living in
I'm Michael
Bahamas.
Jackson. Yeah,
you never
Michael
know.
Jackson.
I'm huge into the conspiracy theories. I grew up in that environment. My dad is very much into conspiracy theories and intrigued with some of the conspiracy theories, and but I grew up in that, and I think that's kind of what helped to give me the nudge that I needed. The very first team I joined, I was only 14 years old, but I had all the support in the world from my parents, and I think that's why it came so welcoming. Because, you know, my dad was already this big, huge conspiracy theorist, you know, and then he's just like, oh, well, now my daughter's talking to spoogly boos and, you know, these things that we can't see in the house. And, you know, but hey, let her do her. You do you, you know.
You do you.
Yeah, you do you, boo-boo.
So do you guys work with mediums or anything like that?
I have
in the past.
Yeah. I mean, I had a very
right now.
Yeah, not right now. And I think a lot of it for me right now is, I don't know. My last experience with one left a very bitter taste in my mouth. You know, and I know not all of them are like that. And I know, I know. But it was one of those things where the blatant lies, You know what I mean? I mean, very obvious, blatant lies. And since then, I just kind of, you know, took a step back on that. And it's now kind of really become, I'm really sensitive. So when we go into a location, I mean, I kind of am my own best tool in that environment, because if I feel drawn to a certain room or a certain location, I will just go, like, who's coming with me? Like, we're going this way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Now, if we go into a location and I can't pinpoint something, I will definitely try to reach out. I mean, I've got connections, and I know some people, you know. So, you know, I'll reach out to my resource and just ask them, you know, hey, can you tap into this? Can you, you know, tell me more about this? Because I wasn't able to really fulfill myself with trying to figure out what was coming to me. And I mean, we'll do that, but right now we don't have any psychics or a medium or anything like that that's actually on the team with us.
Okay. Well, have you ever thought of trying to... sorry, go ahead, Scott.
I look susceptible to EMF. I can actually feel the EMF when we go in place. So I can just tell you.
Human EMF detector.
Human EMF detector.
I am.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're sensitive to the field. You're sensitive to the magnetic fields.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and Teresa.
I'm a zap person with the two.
Right. So I was just wondering, Teresa, have you ever thought of trying to, like, hone your ability to be sensitive more?
Yes. And it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because I have actually been working a lot more, especially I think what really drove me to do this here recently is because we're getting ready. Well, I'm getting ready to go back. My guys are going to be going to the Hinsdale house and
Scott's going to be joining time, you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all making the trip to New York together. So yeah, it will be nice. But we had some things happen the last time that we were there. So I really want to be able to tap into more this next time. So the last few months I have actually been doing a lot to hone into this. And I've been pretty impressed with myself, because I've been able to tell certain people in my life that I know very personal that certain things that they were like, holy crap, you were right. Like, this happened. I'm like, okay, we're on the right path here. Just gonna go with the flow.
Yeah, it is kind of a nice feeling whenever you sense something, or you feel that you sense something, and then it starts to manifest as being true.
Yeah.
Or starting to happen.
It gives you that validation.
It gives you validation and satisfaction.
Yeah.
Knowing that you were correct. But in the beginning, especially if you're just trying to hone it and understand it and work with it, in the beginning, you just kind of, you're afraid to say anything. You don't want...
And it can be very confusing too. And I think this is what a lot of people don't understand about somebody who is sensitive or a medium or a psychic, is when we have things come to us, the way that they come to us are in different forms, are in different, you know, I mean, I can see a red rose 1 second, but then see a book another second. Well, what do a book and a red rose have in common? You know what? So it's, I think a lot of people, when they think about a psychic or a medium, that, oh, it's just like it comes to you in a clear sign, in a clear indication.
No, it doesn't.
No, it's not always like that. I mean,
no.
Are certain things very clear? Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. But it could also have the opposite meaning too, and people don't realize that either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm getting back into practicing Wicca. I used to be a Wicca when I was younger.
I got my altar behind us.
That's cool.
Awesome. Awesome.
There you go.
So are you doing that too? Are you practicing Wicca then?
Or I absolutely do, yes.
Awesome. So now you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah. Now we gotta talk some more.
So do you try to read tarots?
I do. I absolutely do. Yes. And I've been very successful with the readings that I've done. I don't like pulling for myself. I will pull for other people, but the best way that I can describe it to people about myself is, and it's weird, Joe might be able to kind of, because I've come to find out this is like it's like a Pisces thing. It really is. But the best way I can describe it is we are master manipulators. And what I mean by that is we could be having the worst day possible on the face of the planet. We're just done. Mm-hmm. But the face that we put on for everyone to see, you would never know it.
Right.
We could be hiding so much, and we can hide so much from everybody. And you could be my husband. I mean, y'all could ask my husband. Now, we've been together long enough that he's like, all right, what's eating you up? Like, what's going on? You know, but the first 5 years, 6 years of our relationship, it's like that she's batshit crazy.
I can confirm.
And when you're in a relationship and you're trying to get somebody to understand who you are and what you're about.
Right, right.
It is. It is a very confusing situation for somebody that you're sharing your life with.
I know, because the woman that I moved to Wisconsin for, I gave her about 21 years of my life, and I gave up Wicca because of her, because it freaked her out so much, and I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want that friction there. And I did, you know, I did everything for her, and then she just up and just kind of went right out the door.
That's the one good thing I can say about my husband is he is so supportive in every way with everything that I do. He may not understand it, but he's like, that's okay with me. I don't have to understand it. This is your belief. This is what you practice. And what kind of, you know what, would I be to interfere or to try to object against how you feel?
Like, right. No, and that's great. And I'm actually happy for you that you found someone that's that understanding.
Yeah, I mean, because don't give me for a lot of now and then he's like, okay.
But for a lot of us that are in the Wicca, in the Wiccan and everything, it's sometimes it's difficult to find someone who can be understanding and willing to stick with you through it all.
Yeah,
but I gotta say this: from the time that I was younger and practicing at that time up until now, it's more accepted and more widely Absolutely. Understood now than it used to be. Yeah. When I was practicing, I was like 16, 17, 18 years old, and I couldn't even, it was hard for me to even tell anybody because of the fact that they always looked at me like I was a devil worshiper or that I kissed Satan's feet or something like that. And it's like, no, that's not Satanist. What it is. Yeah, thank you, a Satanist.
Demon.
So, you know, but I do have to say this. I have had experiences where I have dealt with demons because a woman that I dated was a witch.
I don't think we ever have.
A woman I dated, she was actually a witch. She was a Hispanic woman. She, you know, my age at the time, She practiced the dark magics. And
I identify as a witch too, but I don't dabble into that kind of crap.
No. I won't touch the darks because I know better. I've seen the bad side of it all. I've had to actually bring light into the bad side of it, and it is not fun.
Yeah, no, I stay away from that stuff. We've been on an investigation where, I mean, there was definitely the darker magic that was cast and being practiced, and it definitely left that very, for me, it's a sickening feeling. Like, I get sick
in my stomach.
Like, that's how it makes me feel.
You can feel it. You can feel it when you walk into the, if you're going into an investigation and there has been some darkness there, you can feel it.
Absolutely.
It's a heavy, dreary, like dripping feeling. And it feels like if you don't move out of that particular area, it's just going to pull you right down into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like we were talking about earlier with being able to control your own psyche and your own senses and keep yourself grounded. I mean, that kind of goes hand in hand when dealing with that, because you go into an environment like that and you can't keep yourself grounded. You can't, you know, it will, like you just said, it's like you're about ready to be drowned.
Yeah.
Is the best way I can describe it. It's a very suffocating feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like you're being pulled under and there's, and you're struggling to get out.
Absolutely.
But then, you also got to remember too that there are times where there is darkness there, but it's not as heavy.
Yes.
You know, the ones that I don't like is when you walk in and it just feels like it just almost, it's almost like opening up your front door on an extremely hot summer day when you've got your air conditioning set to like 66 degrees. And your room is like 66 and you open that door up and it's like 85% humidity outside and it just slaps you down. That's kind of one of the feelings too whenever you come across that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And so, we have.
Yeah, we have.
I think every one of us has, but there are some of us who are in the paranormal investigation part of it that aren't as sensitive as some others.
Yeah. And now the one thing I will say about that is I do believe, you know, and this may sound like, you know, totally off the wall for some people, but I feel like you guys will understand. I know Scott understands. I know my guys understand. Like, everybody has these abilities.
Oh yeah.
You can tap into these abilities. Mm-hmm. But if you can't clear yourself enough to do it, you're never going to be able to do it.
Right.
I've got little ones, you know, I'm, Lord help me, because I'm raising all boys here, but you know, I've got all Lord. And my 7-year-old and my 3-year-old are being brought up and raised in this environment.
Yeah.
So they know what it means to meditate. They understand mommy's altar. And, you know, my 7-year-old is starting to understand the crystals and what they mean and the properties of them. And he, at 7 years old, is honing into this. My 3-year-old, now he tries really hard, but he don't know what he's doing.
No, he's
so cool.
But he's still learning.
Yes, and I was literally just talking to a really good girlfriend of mine the other day, and I told her, I said, "You do realize you have abilities." I said, "Stop being so stubborn. Let this just flow the way that it needs to." It was like 4 days later, she's like, "Oh my God, Teresa, like, you were right. Like, I had this vision. I had this dream the next day." And I'm like, "See, stop ignoring it." Like, just so many people.
That's because a lot of the people that have it and are afraid to tap into it. That's the way they were raised.
Yes.
They were taught to ignore it, or they were taught that it was a bad thing.
Well, and especially, and I mean, I kind of hate to bring this up now, but I mean, I was just talking to Scott about this, about, hey, you know, my girlfriend said we need to make this like a topic for, you know, one of our shows, but it's religion and the paranormal, you know, the ties, the connection.
They actually do tie in.
It's one of those things where, like you said, depending on how you were raised, oh, no, 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 no. Depending on your religion, that's a no, 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 no.
Yes,
you don't
exactly.
talk about that kind of stuff. You don't indulge into that kind of stuff. And if you do, like, you're outcasted, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you are the devil. Like, so I totally understand that. And especially your older generation, because that was something, I mean, my parents, that was a huge no-no back in, you know, in were kids or in their early 20s, 30s, you know, that was a huge no-no. You did not talk about that kind of stuff. You did not indulge into that kind of stuff. And if you did, it, mm-hmm. depending on what religion you practice, guess what? You were a sinner and you were outcasted, not only by
exactly
the congregation of the church, but your mm-hmm. own family and friends.
I was raised as a Pentecost. Or I should say, I was born into a Pentecost family. They tried to raise me as a Pentecost, and I rebelled.
He's a rebel.
Well, I'm a rebel too.
Cassie here. She's one of our viewers, and she's one of our interviews a while back. She's asking about how to safely learn and practice whenever you're trying to progress further.
Okay, well, don't believe everything you see with Google, for one.
No, you can't believe everything you Google.
What about meditation?
I mean, don't get me wrong, Google is a huge, I mean, it's a good platform. If you want to use it. I mean, I don't know about you, Mark, and how you started this journey and how, but.
My journey started when I was about 15, and it was a hell of a lot of trial and error.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, I was pretty young too.
I learned the hard way.
Yeah. Well, and I think everybody has. Unless you started out being guided by somebody, like I wasn't guided by anybody.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
I.
Almost everything I've done, I've learned on my own. And then until I hooked up with the one woman that was a witch, and she taught me some other stuff, but she played around with both the dark and the light, but she would only teach me the light stuff. She'd only teach me the good side of it all. And I'm glad that's all she did, because I actually did ask her a couple of times to show me some of the dark, because I wanted to experience it and I wanted to know it, but she wouldn't do that.
There is a part of that side that is good to know. That way you can tell if mm-hmm. you have been cursed, or you
yeah.
can
oh,
tell
yeah.
if there is a hex. You,
there's
you know,
one of them that I know.
Feel it.
Yeah. And there is one of them I know. It's the one with, you know, you take the chicken egg.
Yes.
Yeah. I know how to do that.
Did you do it? That's the question.
What's that?
Did you do it?
Did I do the?
You,
with the
know it,
you know,
or did
you take
it?
You take the chicken egg, and that's how you remove the curse. That's how you remove the dark from a person that's been touched that way.
Right.
Because a chicken egg, if you do it correctly, and it works, when you crack the egg into a bowl, it'll be bloody.
Yes.
What's that, Scott?
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've seen some pretty wild videos of that, of someone doing that.
What's wrong, Joe?
Just ruined my breakfast. An egg for a while.
Don't want to be cracking no eggs in
the right, Cassie's saying she's not regarding learning witchcraft. protecting yourself in an investigation situation. Well, we're not really talking about witchcraft, Cassie. We're talking more of the Wicca faith. It's actually a faith in a religion. And it deals with a lot of protection. If you want to protect yourself, this is going to be my this is going to be my thing on this. If you want to protect yourself during an investigation, find yourself a black tourmaline.
Yes.
Black tourmaline is one of the most powerful stones in the Wicca faith for protection. Use that in a leather pouch with some sea salt. Put sea salt in the pouch, put the tourmaline in with it, and wear it or keep it on your person. It should actually help with keeping, you know, the bad spirits from messing with you.
Right.
Did you?
I mean, and a lot of even the witches who go on investigations and stuff, they will carry what we call small jars that have that in and keep it on our person, on with us, with our team, in our vehicle. That way the whole time that we are on or in travel to an investigation, we're protected. I know a lot of people don't understand, depending on the location in which you're going and depending on what you may be dealing with there in a spiritual way, they already know you're coming. They already know you're coming.
Yeah, they do.
And it's good to keep yourself protected, not only while you're at the location, but before you go to the location as well. Cleansing yourself too before you come home. You know, I have a husband at home. I have children at home. And
you don't want to bring it in to them.
Absolutely. I mean, I want to keep my family protected as well as I want to keep myself and my guys protected. So, yeah.
And Cassie, no, it shouldn't interfere with your further seeing. It's basically just to protect. That's what
I mean, it's protecting you from, you know, negative energy.
Well, Joe, I think we're getting to that time.
Yeah.
We got to kind of keep them around an hour.
Yeah, we've got our show coming up at 9 o'clock. So
awesome.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice kind of being able to come here and be with you guys. And then we're like, oh, okay, well, we'll have some time in between. You know, we can go over and do our show.
What's that, Joe?
I was asking Teresa, what was it like being on the flip side of things?
Oh, yeah.
Flip
side of things. Hey,
I'm
fine with both positions, okay? I'm fine. Take it either way.
Thanks, Cass.
Well, thank you guys for joining
us. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you for having us.
I love the talk.
Yeah, it's great.
Teresa, you and I need to communicate a little bit more here. I'm finding now since we've been doing this and in the paranormal and been doing a lot of this, I'm finding now that I'm actually able to communicate and connect with more people who are into the Wicca and witchcraft part of
the paranormal. And it's so nice because more people are actually talking about it, because in society it has becoming more acceptable.
Yes, it has become more acceptable, and we're not looked at.
I will tell you,
we're not looked at like we used to be looked at.
Yeah,
you know, we're not looked at as being a bad, you know, the bad thing.
Yeah,
you know,
we are not devil worshippers, y'all.
No, we're not. We're not devil worshippers. All right. Well, thanks, guys. It was really fun talking with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having us, guys.
Be a good time. Thanks.
Yep.
Bye.
See ya.
Good night.
Oh, wait a minute. One quick thing. What's that, Joe?
March 21st.
What's that?
Paraflex launches.
Oh, yeah. Paraflex launches on March 21st. And we're going to be on Paraflix.
I was going to ask you about Paraflix. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Okay, awesome.
Be looking for you.
So besides your Paranormal Gateway, is there any other website that you want to promote quick before we go?
Well, we both have websites and Facebook pages for our individual investigation groups too. So, you know, Paranormal Truth Seekers, you can find on Facebook, okay. You know, his, the Gateway Paranormal Investigations, you can find on Facebook. And we both do have websites as well. So, yeah, I mean, you can definitely find us. Our website, the links and everything are on our Facebook pages. I think we have them on the Paratalk page too. Okay. I think so.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to make sure you got
pretty
your plug.
Easy to find. Yeah. Thanks for having us, guys.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for coming in. Anything else, Joe, before we go?
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
Nope. Thanks again. You guys have a good evening. And
thank you. You too.
I want to try to tune in.
Okay.
Good night.